RTD Live Talk, Detroit's number one late night YouTube talk show. We are live for a Monday night edition. It is the 18th day of the month of October. Excited to be back and looking forward to connecting and finding out what's on your radar, what's on your mind tonight, people. Hope everyone's doing well. Anyway, my name is Mike, the host. Looking forward to connecting. And as always, for those that might be new to the community, want to give you a chance to let me know where you're watching from. We'd love to give you a quick shout out. And then when the phone lines open up, 313-462-0027. Is the number to call and let your voice be heard. So yeah, back at it again on Monday. Excited, man. A lot of things worth touching on. And man, the airwaves are being bombarded with all types of topics. And of course, here in America, or the United States of America, rather, one of the primary subjects we're being bombarded with happens to be the supply chain. And that's going to be a narrative that they're going to push down our throats. Really reinforcing, as I mentioned from a video earlier, trying to point the blame towards those who haven't participated, as if like anybody really believes that is the case. But while things are unfolding here with the supply chain bottlenecks and all that other stuff they use out in the Western Hemisphere, the debt contagion continues to expand. And I came across a couple good articles that I think is worth talking about, just because as always, when events unfold, it's usually the things that we're not being told or the things we're focusing on the most, which end up causing the most pain. And because all of this happens to do with debt and the unsustainable nature of it, at some point, something's going to give and it's going to take down every single system, every single part of the system that's all interconnected. So going to touch on that. But before I dive in to some of these articles here, let me check in via the chat real quick, and then we'll jump into some articles. And then when the phone lines open up, curious to hear what you guys keep an eye on. All right, we got Jay checking in. We got Ed Hammond says, get your body weight up. Oh, we got DC Precise checking in. We got Ed says, rice, beans, pasta, oatmeal, peanut butter, tuna, and water. Okay, LBP checking in. We got Chris. We got Lightning for Thee. We got the Great FOMO. What else we got here? Over here, we got Tom checking. It says China not paying their bill just like the USA. And so, Tom, when it comes to the Asian contagion that's taking place right now, the ripple effects has a lot more to do. It has a greater chance at impacting investors, and more in particular, the smaller investors that's participating in that whole the debt default situation there. So not only will it spill over to the Asian market itself, but it's going to trickle down into the pockets of individuals in the US and in Europe that perhaps invested in a lot of the institutions doing business with those developers over there, i.e. the Black Rocks, the UBS, and a couple of the companies where we have a lot of foreign investors. And so that's going to impact people's pockets directly here in this country as well, because a lot of people who put funds into those indexes and just park them in these vehicles that's been positioned for you to park and hold your currency for the long time, a time frame. Those are the funds that's found their way over to Evergrande that's not being repaid, as well as all the other companies. So it stands to be a lot more disastrous than what we're being told, and what we're, you know, the warnings are not being preached enough, I don't think, for those that still participate in a lot of those financial products, which happen to be a lot of people. We got over here, Lightning for Thee. Okay, let me get to some more people. YouTube man checking in from Florida. Remember Florida man, you can be. Okay, it's a lot of stuff there. I'll get to that. What else? King D checking in. Lightning for Thee. Okay, see, appreciate you guys. Shane checking in on Facebook. Faith Parent. We got Collapso Moon from Phoenix. Appreciate you. What else here? Midnight Green. Rashonda from Washington State, Larissa checking in. Appreciate you guys for tuning in, man. As always, let me know what's happening in your neck of the woods. A lot of things happening right on the ground in your local area. Feel free to chime in and keep us all in tune. What's going on? All right, so let me jump right in, man. Before I do that, let me just, I want to try to just scan the surface of some primary, you know, headlines or whatnot. And of course, we can't neglect the current price action in the metal space. You know, silver, gold still hanging within those thresholds that they're allowing from 23 to 1767. So we'll see what happens with that. But in my personal opinion, don't expect those prices to really move. But that's a great thing, because it's a buying opportunity for those that believe in the importance of holding something real tangible that you can feel. So just a little something there. But then also, we can't not talk about the futures ETFs for BTC that was, rolled out tomorrow. And that's just another way of probably controlling the price rather than actually benefiting the people. But I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on that. But right now, a lot of green. But once again, if you put in early, you're still doing well. And so let's jump into the topic of the hour. So here's an article here that caught my attention. It's quite lengthy, but it just shows how much of the debt default has just spread throughout China beyond Evergrande. And then, of course, on the 23rd of this week, which is what day is that? That will be on this Friday or Saturday, give or take, will be that grace period, that 30-day grace period that was extended to Evergrande, which is that 30-day window of which they either pay up or they officially default. And therefore, that starts the whole event where the debt contagion will really escalate because it's not only just them, it's the companies that's underneath them, invested in them, that goes right on down. But just to give you a little bit of something on the topic here, just some of these bullets here basically give you an idea of what's going on. And it says all eyes will be on Chinese real estate developer CITIC Holdings, which warned last week is not likely to repay offshore bonds. Offshore bonds happen to be those more than likely dollar denominated bonds, which a lot of foreigners are invested in willingly or unknowingly by the institutions where they've parked their funds. And that's probably the most that's probably the greatest risk, rather, because a lot of people might be a part of this debt allocation here and not even know it, just because your current broker or whatnot may not have told you exactly where all those funds have gone, just because they're parked in some type of mutual fund style investment tool. But it says here on Friday, another developer, Chinese Properties Group, said it had defaulted. It defaulted on $226 million worth of notes. And so that's just, I think that's the fourth or fifth one as of now. And then it just gives more information as to how more and more companies are coming out with their inability to make payment on those debts. And then the very last thing here, which caught my attention, here's a list of a couple companies that was downgraded, which means they're not too far behind having some issues with debt. So we got China, Ouyuan here. We got Modern Land here, which is Fitch downgraded them. They're on the hook for $250 million. We got Greenland Holding, another company here. So this is just more of what's going on with the debt contagion, which we won't really hear about nowadays over here, just because we have a lot of issues that they're trying to pump down our throat with this. So here's another little title here. The Evergrande crisis is spreading and slowing the Chinese economy sharply. UBS and Barclay warns. And it says tax worries and growth woes haunt Chinese property shares. So the real estate market in itself over in China is not performing too well based upon the fears of a lot of these empty buildings and ghost cities basically being sold for pennies on a dollar or not being resold at all. Therefore, bringing down the property prices of a lot of other individuals that hold their real estate or their homes or investment properties as an asset that they put in their retirement portfolios and things like that. And once again, when one building goes down or one company goes down, there'll be more to follow. Therefore, the entire property market will suffer and it just won't be stuck in the Asian region. It will trickle over to other areas, especially in Europe and in the US at some point as well. So just something to be worried, to be concerned about, rather, for people to still invest in those type of products. PBOC Yi says China can contain the risk from Evergrande. Okay. So I'm not quite sure how they're talking about doing that. But as of now, unless they're going to step in and actually bail out all of those developers, I think they literally want this thing to go belly up. But that's just me. Okay. Another article here. And so here's a couple of the companies. This is a couple weeks old. But BlackRock Fidelity Funds suffer exodus on Evergrande fears here. And so I'd imagine here, I think Fidelity, if I'm not mistaken, is the largest one of the fund manager. And so, once again, a lot of people who put funds in Fidelity, they might be on the hook with some of those losses as they continue to creep up. So that's just some stuff there on the China side, but I think it's worth keeping an eye on just because that's an event happening over there, which will not get any better just because it's debt in nature. And it just more exposes the Ponzi scheme nature of all of these financial products that they've created. And they spun them off as investments for people to put their funds in. And as we witness, most of those things are not able to be repaid upon unless there's more currency being brought in, i.e. more investors coming in. And when no investors are putting in funds, then there's a problem, because how do they make payments on all the first funds that were given to them? They can't. So it's going to be problems. And that just pales and it just shows more of what we're dealing with over here, with the same Ponzi scheme nature of events. Okay, a couple more subjects here that I'll open up the phone lines and love to hear what you guys keep an eye on. But these are some things that just caught my attention. But here's something that came across my radar as well. I think one of the community members shared it. But over the weekend, it looks like over in Haiti, 17 American missionaries have been held hostage. So that's definitely an event that we will keep an eye on, just because it just goes to show how you have people with good intentions looking to go help a region that's having some difficulties, but yet there's still, you know, evil sprinkled out amongst them to where people's lives are in danger there. And of course, they happen to be believers in Christ. So I want to definitely make sure we lift them up in prayer before we check off. But it looks like the FBI is getting involved and doing some work over there to try to bring them back home. So I want to wish them the best. But just a story worth touching on. And then here's another story here. And so I guess as of this past week, $15 billion went out in the child tax credit payments. And of course, they can't just put this out here with a flyby type of story. They want to talk about how more of the congressmen and women want to make this permanent. So as of today, 61 billion has been spent since I think the middle of July, and they want to make this permanent. And of course, this video here gives a lot of sad stories as to how and why parents are having difficulties. And of course, it's a sad situation, but I guess the biggest tragedy out of it all is how the government has been positioned as a middle person between, you know, actual organizations that are set aside and designed to help people in trouble in times like this, rather than the government stepping in, talking about offering subsidies and, you know, currency and aid and stuff like that, which is basically, it just plays into more of what they're already trying to do, man. Get us hooked on more debt, more government help and assistance, all with a little caveat to it at the end of the day. But anyway, on another note, I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on the announcement of Mr. Powell, who I guess passed away today. And the story was it was COVID related of some kind. And so I'm curious to get your thoughts on that. Of course, I have my thoughts. But, you know, once again, Americans who lost his life, whether it was prematurely or because a result of all this, who knows? But no ill will towards the man. He did what he was, you know, paid to do, which was not good for America, unfortunately. But I'm just hoping that he hopefully died in Christ and, you know, had his sins washed in the blood so that he could, you know, we go from there. So I'll share my thoughts on that. But anyway, a couple more stories here, but I don't want to rant too much longer. I'm curious to hear what you guys keep an eye on. So let's open the phone lines. I'm curious to hear what's new out here. Of course, there's more stories to touch on, but I would love to hear from you guys right now. So let's talk, man. What else you guys keep an eye on? Or you can just give me a call and we can talk about it, or throw out something in the chat and we can definitely touch on it. And then also, of course, as I mentioned earlier from the video about us being bombarded with the whole supply chain situation there, there was actually a photo that reveals more goods like never before as a result of having the lockdown last year are on its way or sitting in the ports or sitting on ships just waiting to be unloaded and delivered. So that's another question I have as to, you know, outside of the deliberate, you know, withholding of goods and services or goods, rather, you know, on the food side of things, we've witnessed over the last several months, well beyond the lockdown situation where there was a deliberate withholding of actual food to where the government got in and stepped in and started, you know, paying distributors and as well as farmers to not produce crops and stuff like that. So I saw some comments on the video earlier, and I definitely want to touch on that as well. So, but anyway, let's talk, man. So Calypso says, whoa, he died. I'm not religious, guys, but I still like Mike's channel. Listen to your current events. Appreciate you. And, you know, on another note there, it doesn't necessarily have to be about being religious or not. I think everybody at the core essence of them we all have a spiritual element to ourselves. Now, whether or not some are more focused on trying to pinpoint it to a source or not, you know, we all have those moments where we're all, aware and in tune with something greater and bigger beyond ourselves. And to me, that right there plays into the spiritual essence of who we are. Like, there's always been, you know, I'm speaking about myself, there's always been this yearning for more. And as I've gotten older, of course I'm ranting, but you know, wait till you guys give me a call. We can talk about whatever. But as I've gotten older, I've always had this yearning or desire for something greater than myself, to be a part of something, to give back to humanity, to serve. And I think a lot of that, you know, based upon my interpretation, has to do with just the essence of wanting to be a blessing to other people, to love and to give and to just, you know, to have a part of myself that I'm able to leave and deposit into other people's lives. And I point that to just the spiritual essence of us being created in the image and likeness of our Creator, which is all about loving, which is all about giving. And so those are the little attributes that I would attribute to people who say that they're not religious, but then again, are able to admit that there's a little bit of spirituality to what they're about and to what they do. And so it's a long-winded explanation for myself, but I hope that was of value to you. But anyway, let's talk. Hello, Carlos, where are you calling from?
Is this Everything in the Dollar?
Yes, this is. What's your name? Where are you calling from, buddy?
This is Sam from Kansas City.
Sam from Kansas City. What's going on in Kansas City, Sam?
Not a whole lot. I just wanted to actually tell a few jokes to lighten the mood.
Okay, go ahead. Give us one.
All right. So why did the girl fall off the swing?
I don't know, but I'm sure you're going to tell me. Go ahead. What is it?
Because she had no arms.
Okay.
What goes 99 thump, 99 thump, 99 thump?
99 thump, 99. I'm not sure. Go ahead and tell us.
A centipede with a wooden leg.
Okay.
And I had some others, but now I'm on the phone live. I kept them, so peace out and have a great night.
Appreciate you, man.
All right. Bye.
Wait, lighten the mood. Yep. Okay, that's a good one there. All righty. That's the first time I call. I think we got a caller who called in with some jokes or whatnot. So definitely got a chuckle or two. But anyway, let's talk, man. I'm curious to hear what you guys are talking about, what you're thinking about. And then also on the supply chain side of things, you know, it seems like every commentator, of course, is sharing their thoughts on it. So I'm curious to hear what you guys think, because I saw a lot of videos over the weekend. I can probably pull some of them up. Of shelves empty and, you know, fake pictures over shelves. And so I'm assuming that stuff is real. And I haven't personally seen any in my neck of the woods, but I'm not saying that it's not a real event, but I'm curious to hear what you guys are seeing. And of course, if you guys are seeing stuff like that, you know, what area are you located in? I'd be curious to find out. Let me see here. Hello, Carlos, where are you calling from?
Hey, Middle Village, Queens, New York. I'm over here.
What's going on, my friend? What I didn't get your name. What's your name?
Over here.
Over here. Okay. What's going on, boss?
I want to talk about something that I want to remind people. Remember, several years ago, the Queen of England, she gave her Christmas message.
Mm-hmm.
And in her Christmas message, she said, "This will be our last Christmas."
Mm.
Do you think she was warning us of what's to come?
I don't remember that message. Do you know what year that was or what up? I'll try to look it up real quick.
Not exactly, but Mario, in fact, I mentioned it to Mario and he did recall it, on his live chat yesterday, Monaco 64. And she said, "This will be our last Christmas." I don't know if perhaps she was forewarning us or maybe her calendar was a little off, but, it was, you know, when people were very alarmed by it, they said, "Wow, what is she talking about?"
I forget the message. Last Christmas. So I just typed that in real quick and something popped up. I'm not sure if this is relevant to it, but it says how the queen, the last Christian monarch, has made her faith her message. So that's probably not it, but I'll look into it. But I'm not familiar with it, so I don't know, but I would assume that she's plugged into the global agenda because she's a part of that whole little, you know, cabal that's orchestrating a lot of this stuff. So I would assume she'd be in on the know, but we'll find out. But I'm not sure of that.
Yeah, well, if you get a chance, Mike, you know, look it up.
Yeah.
I haven't had the chance because whatever. But the bottom line is it's concerning. It's like whether she forewarned us or, like you said, she's in the know.
Yeah.
She definitely is one of the wealthiest people in the world. And she's also the Queen of England.
Right.
And it just seems like something that we should be looking into.
Yeah.
Considering.
Yeah, well, I'll put it out there. Thanks for bringing it to our attention again, or reminding us, rather. And if you happen to come across something, definitely shoot it to me. I would definitely love to dive into it. But something like that would not completely surprise me, given the fact that, you know, Klaus Schwab and all those other people with this Build Back Better, Great Reset agenda, they just come out right and just spoke very bluntly with what their agenda is. So I wouldn't be surprised if she said that, you know, to really kick things off back in the day. So,
like I said, maybe she felt she owed her people, you know, her subjects,
yeah,
a full warning. You know, maybe it was a conscious kind of thing that she did, knowing what was to come in the future.
Yeah,
all this has to be planned. This is a part of the agenda. This is not by chance,
right? Hey.
It just everything is falling into place, and I just feel like there's no speed bump to slow it down, we're just moving in a direction that is outright frightening. I believe they're going to probably force us to take a flu shot next.
And I saw something about, I think Moderna is working on a combination between the, you know, the jab and the flu, putting it in one. So I saw something about that. So I would assume that's in their plans for the future. So, but time will tell, man. Something worth thinking about.
Amazing. And, You have a great channel. And,
appreciate
and,
you, my friend.
I appreciate you and the people on the live chat. They're good people, and I'm glad to be here.
Appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in. Call the name, my friend.
Meanwhile.
Yep. Yeah, great thoughts, man. So it looks like somebody said, I think, was it Riley? You said 2016. So I'm assuming you're referring to that Queen Elizabeth speech. And I'm sure it probably made headlines, but I didn't really see it, I don't think. And I saw someone mention about William Shatner. And so I'm curious to get your guys' thoughts on this, because all of a sudden now going to space has become a race between Bezos and Elon Musk, you know, two billionaires going back and forth talking about who's the richest. But yet they're both taking up going into orbit, allegedly, and seeing whatever and coming right back. A lot of questions about this. I just, you know, why now? Why is there such a race to get to outer space amongst everything else that's going on? So I question it 100%. And based upon a lot of, you know, alternative media, deep down the rabbit hole type videos I've watched, I've seen how a lot of the stuff that we've been shown, especially from NASA and stuff like that, are, you know, what you call like green studio type of performances. So it is what it is, but I'm curious to hear what you guys think. You know, let me know. I just thought that was kind of funny that, you know, William Shatner gets a chance to go to space, you know, supposedly. But Rolf says, Powell writes 128 email enemy kills. I have found out in my journal form. Powell writes the 128 enemy kills I have found in my journal form part of the total. Rolf, I'm not sure what that's it. I'm not sure what that is, man. let me know what you're talking about with that one. Hello, Carlos. Oh, where are you calling from? Hello? Hello?
Hi, Mike. It's Ed. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Is that?
Yeah. And, you know, I was thinking that this whole food thing, you know, when Stalin killed, I think, 20-some million Russians, he starved them out. He took their farmers' food.
Mm-hmm.
Mao killed 40 or 50 million, and, you know, 1949-50 time frame.
Mm-hmm.
Took their, you know, no food. They starved them out. And, you know, how I like to relate to people is, you know, I say, how much insurance do you spend on insurance a month? You know, health insurance, car insurance, life insurance,
yeah,
on and on and on. You know, it's thousands of dollars. Why not get some food insurance?
Yeah.
You know, buy it. If you don't need it, you can eat it. Or if you have to toss it, look at it like your car payment, you know, or your car insurance. You don't want to use that, but yet you stick out, you know, $100, $200 a month. So I think that's important. And also, as Christians, you know, that the Bible says we will not be able to buy and sell, and hopefully that's way down the line.
Mm-hmm.
But I not only buy food for me and my family, I stock up so I can share it with those in the Christian community who haven't done that.
Yeah.
Know, we need to be able to help each other.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, I do agree. I do agree. Hey, man, appreciate you for calling and sharing your thoughts.
Yeah, and the Alaskan prepper, you know, our buddy, he's good at all that too.
So yeah.
Take care, Mike.
Appreciate you. Yeah, that's another thing. Like, so I've, of course, just out of, you know, curiosity to further learn myself. And so also lightning for thee, you say you found that article in that speech, send it to rtdnews@protonmail.com. And I'll try to jump on that and share it with the audience or whatnot, just because I'm curious to, you know, be introduced to that as well. But anyway, so yeah, I find myself watching more of the prepper channels as well, just because a lot of people specialize on, you know, food preparations and things like that, emergency survival kits and stuff like that. So it's like, man, like they focus on that. That's their expertise. That's their specialty. I try to pick up as much as I can along the way. And over the last 1 or 2 years, I've been learning a lot more myself. And the biggest thing is just keeping inventory of everything. Try to make sure that the dates on stuff and what goes bad, what don't go bad, that right there becomes a task in and of itself. So yeah, but just always room to learn and improve. Anyway, give me some calls. I appreciate you guys. Shane says a Social Security number is the mark of the beast. That number that we've been given at birth, you know, is something that is used to label, tag us, track us, trace us, you know, financially speaking as well. So that until the day we depart. So that really could be the mark of the beast type of situation. But one of the differences with the biblical reference to the mark of the beast is that you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade, you know, at that time frame. And with incorporating the Social Security number as well as your driver ID. So just like, I think over the weekend, Florida announced that they're doing a Florida ID system where the driver's license is digital. And of course it's optional up front, but eventually it's going to be mandatory. And that's where I'm not looking forward to in the months and years ahead as more digital ID type things are rolled out, you know, whether it be your ID, eventually it's going to be your passport. And of course, it all geared towards a social credit system. And that's something that's been on my mind a lot lately as I witness more of the cryptocurrency side of things continue to advance, as well as this health passport stuff happening out in Italy and stuff like that. Everything at some point, bit by bit, every aspect of our lives is going to be condensed down to a social credit score system through some type of app where they interconnect all of our personal information. And one of the things I was thinking about, because of the whole cryptocurrency buzz right now, a lot of people are excited. Everybody focuses primarily on how much they can profit off of this transition. And then I was thinking about how it's one thing to profit and to be excited about profiting, but yet unless you participate fully in their experimentation of this rollout of the health stuff, the ID stuff, CBDC stuff, unless you participate fully, I don't think you're really going to be able to function in society in the way that you have in the past to really enjoy a lot of that. And that's why I think a lot of people aren't really considering the fact that people are so focused on the financial side of things that they're not considering that they're just short and long-term health and the side effects from participating. And that's why I think, you know, things are going to get real tricky real soon, because within the next couple of months, give or take years or so, I think we're going to find out more as to the dangers of having participated in the past or what's going to be rolled out in the future, to where people aren't going to be thinking about financial matters as much as they will their health, I think. But that's just my opinion. Anyway, let's keep moving. What do you say? I see a lot of thoughts here. Shane says, what can you do without your Social Security number? House? Nope. Car? Nope. Very true. Very true. That is a good point. And that's where, apart from, I think, Shane, from you mentioning it, I think it's probably been brought up before, but never really been given much consideration, given the fact that it's already been a part of our lives from day one. And so perhaps we could be, looking too far ahead towards an actual mark, as it says, whether it be on the forehead or the hand or something like that, which I think at some point will be incorporated into the body, just because as we're witnessing, they want to merge tech and, you know, the human body together. So I think that will be the outright visible appearance of some type of mark with all that other stuff that, you know, you're mentioning or whatever that I just mentioned as well, factored in. CSAC says we have to accept the mark. Yeshar says it's a microchip. Okay, so good thoughts there. So CSAC says we have to accept it. Good point. That's another angle as well. All right, let me get a card here. Hello, caller. Which name are we calling from?
Hey, Mike. It's Low Blood Pressure, Corpus Christi, Texas. How's it going?
Hey, LBP. Doing good, my friend. What's up with you?
Nothing, man. Life goes on, Mike. Hey, I wanted to tell a few things. You know, I'm a broken record. The mark of the beast, mm-hmm. one world currency, we already have it. It's the U.S. dollar.
Okay, so I wouldn't argue that. And so clearly it's just based upon a lot of the interpretations of the mark of the beast. We've gotten social security number. We got somebody said RFID chips. You saying the dollar. So there's a lot of things that can be labeled as the mark of the beast. So give me your rationale for that response, my friend.
Look, try to sell oil in other than dollars and see what happens to you. The beast is going to get you, Mike. They got Gaddafi. They got the other guy, the Syrian guy.
Yeah. Good know, point.
They got the African. What was his name? In Libya.
In Libya was Gaddafi.
Gaddafi, okay, yeah. Okay. And the other guy, they're trying to get him in Syria. They couldn't get him, though. You know, the one that's a doctor. I forget his name.
Man, I ain't heard about that. I ain't heard about Syria in a while, but I heard about some. They've been bombing in Syria lately too. I saw something a while ago. Assad.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
man.
Crazy.
Yes, it is, man.
Oh.
Yeah.
I was gonna tell you another thing, Mike. It just can't come to my mind right now. It'll come maybe after I hang up. It'll come to my mind.
Yeah, Saddam was Iraq. TB says Saddam. Bashir al-Assad. There we go. Bashir al-Assad. That sounds about right.
Yeah. That's the one.
Oh, man. But what else is going on, man, in Texas, man? How's Corpus Christi treat you these days, man?
My wife went to the Walmart. She said that the milk was only a few pieces of, only a few gallons left. You know, there's a big store down here called HEB. It's a local guy, you know, but he has a lot of stores all over South Texas. But anyways, I think they get different suppliers because they always have stocked up, you know, and they even have generators. They're real prepared. That guy, I don't know, but the what do you call it? The stores around here, they got medical generators on the outside, in the back.
Yeah.
They got big diesel generators because they lose too much money, you know, with the food. I guess it's cheaper for them to just have diesel generators. Mm-hmm. So the whole city will be out of power if it is, you know, during that Texas thing.
Yeah.
And they were still open. You know,
using their own power.
Interesting.
So looks like we'll see how much longer they can keep that going, given the fact that gas prices, energy costs are going to go up eventually. So we'll see how they maneuver all that stuff. But yeah, man, keep us informed, man.
All right, Mike, what's new with the crypto right now?
It looks like, you know, BTC is approaching an all-time high. So a lot of people are excited because of some financial products they're trying to spin out to eventually try to, you know, kill the price of it. But right now, we bought $61,000 for BTC. So it's not too bad, I don't think.
What do you think about that new ETF? And do they have a futures right now with Bitcoin? I'm not sure if they do or they don't.
So they already have a couple futures products. I think the first one rolled out in 2017 or so. And so I think the one that's coming out tomorrow, one or two come out this week, is supposedly focusing on the future spot price or futures. Yeah, creating this future spot price. So it's not actually dealing with the actual BTC itself. And so I think the whole goal is to roll out those fake products first before you actually let people deal in the actual product in and of itself as far as the digital stuff. So, but we'll see. I think it's more of a way of trying to control the price.
That's what we got to do, Mike. We need to sell invisible BTC. It's a fake of a fake, you know?
Yeah, good luck with getting some fake of a fake on the BTC ledger. unless you redeemed some of your paper, your funds, your fiat digital stuff to get on that ledger. You know? So unless you on that ledger there, I don't think you're holding much, man.
Yeah, but the ETF isn't going to hold real Bitcoin, or is it?
Oh, they're not.
Are they going to be all transparent with everything?
Oh, they're not. They're creating literally futures contracts with exposure to the actual price. And I think, of course, it carries a premium just because it's not actually the product itself. So it's just one of those, you know, financial products they spin off like they have everything else. Similar to the way with gold and silver around the futures contracts where they manipulate the price of the futures. So I think they're trying to do the same exact thing. But I don't think it's going to work, but we'll see.
All right, Mike. What do you think? It'll make the price go up or down?
I think they're going to try to, but one difference between the metals market is that you know, as of now, Meadows is still something that is mined continuously. But yet with this limited supply of, you know, of the BTC, you know, when there's more, no more mine, there's no more way of actually, you know, further expanding the supply. Therefore, it's going to be hard to continue to play around with the price when there's no more being mined. And when everything is fully mined, then that's all there ever will be for that particular ledger. And that's going to be kind of hard to manipulate. But between now and then, there could be some type of glitch in the system that they throw at us that, who knows, man. It's still early, I think.
Yeah. All right, Mike.
Appreciate you, man.
Have a great night.
Yep. Good talking.
Okay, bye.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Appreciate you. So I see a lot of thoughts out there about the Social Security number. So that right there opened up a can of worms. Let me see. CSAC says, God would judge Gajman for accepting the mark. I think it would be something different. Yeah, I do as well. I think it's going to be something different. I think it's going to be a combination of a lot of things that we're talking about now, but I think the true rollout of something in the future, perhaps it really hasn't been revealed. The technology may not have been revealed or even created just as of yet, because what I'm waiting on, and I'm going to get to this call in a minute, but I've seen, I think, Samsung and I think another cell phone maker, they've actually made cell phones that can go directly into your skin where you got like a little screen that pops up on your arm. And so when we get to the point where people are accepting an embedded cell phone and embedded willingly and with excitement, then I think we're definitely in the park of, you know, the actual physical mark that's in the body. Because until something is in the body or on the body, everything else is leading us to that point, I think. But imagine, you know, when people are excited to get a cell phone put onto their arm or implanted into the side of their ear or whatever, man, we never know. But that stuff is out there. People trying to do it. All right. Hello, caller. Which name are we calling from?
Mike, Tony from Oakland. How you doing,
TB, bro? Doing good, my friend. What's up with you?
Oh, man, one more again.
Yes, sir.
We hear one more again. And the BTC, man, they didn't extinguish all the solid price in it, and nobody's buying it, so they have to go with the ETF, with a derivative of the original.
Now, you said nobody's buying it?
Done for.
You said nobody's buying it?
No, if you look at the blocks, who's going to give you $60,000 for a BTC on the computer? You give me one? I can get one real quick.
So my guess would be it's going to be probably a lot of the institutions that are sitting on a couple billion in retiree funds and stuff like that. And so I think they might hold off until they actually get the ETF, which exchanges the actual BTC itself, which it will probably be down the line at some point. And so the ETFs that they're rolling out now, based upon the price itself, I don't think those are too attractive, but it's another vehicle. So I think there's going to be a lot of excitement because, you know, Michael Saylor is doing a good job out here blowing hot air on, and you can't deny, you know, his company is doing quite well just off hyping up BTC. So a lot of other companies, I'm sure, want in on action as well, will be my guess.
It's all hype, you know, and it's just like anything that's new. Everybody goes out and get it. Everybody wants it. Everybody talks about it being the next best thing as sliced bread.
Yeah.
And then eventually it'll go away too, and then they'll have to create another one. It'll be, what was second in line? Ether?
Yeah.
Ethereum?
Yeah.
It'd be an ETF of Ethereum. And then they're just going down the line. We as a human, spiritual, doing a human walk,
yeah,
do not remember things that's happened. It's like this shipping thing. I can almost guarantee you that Biden's going to be Santa Claus by Christmas.
Yeah. You said Biden's going to be Santa Claus by Christmas?
Biden's going to be Santa Claus by Christmas because he's going to clean up the Port of L.A.
Uh-huh.
He's going to clean up Evergrande. He's going to clean up the whole nine. Then the stock market's going to go up, and Biden saves the day.
Really?
Until April or March, when this thing happens again, and they need to find money to put into the system, and then we'll go down the same road again. This is perpetual. We're creatures of habit,
yeah,
and our habits never change.
Yeah. So watch this. Quick question. So how will Biden actually pull off being Santa Claus for Christmas without?
Well, the ports will be cleaned up, and the shelves will be full, and your milk's no longer $5 a gallon, and gas prices are going to go down. I mean, that's Santa Claus rally.
So okay, and watch this. If that was to happen, I wouldn't be mad. I would not. I would be, because to me that's signs of transitory inflation or consumer good prices. So I think that'd be great. But I just think that for some reason they want more panic, more fear, more chaos so that government can further invade our lives. And so that's why I would find it hard for, you know, Biden to come in and save the day. But reason he would do that is because of, you know, his the results of his presidency or whatever, his poll numbers are so low. So I could see him trying to, you know, give out some bread for Christmas to make up for those poll numbers. So I could see that Santa Claus wise, but
no, if it's about bread that goes into the real economy, and they can't have that. They can't have real money going to the real economy because then that'll create the actual inflation.
Yeah.
Here's an example.
Yeah.
There will be no inflation until the banks start lending money because the banks are the one that can create the inflation.
I can further get on board with, you know, the inflation narrative from that standpoint there. But also,
and with inflation, it's not the price of milk, price of gas goes up, goes down every other month,
right,
or something goes up and goes down. It's across the board. And continually go up. That's where people get it mixed up at, is they see the temporary inflation in certain goods, not all goods, but certain goods. But when you're talking inflation, you're talking the inflation going across the board and it continues to go up. That's inflation.
Yeah.
And hyperinflation is the amount of times it does it over and over and over and over again.
Within a shorter time frame, yeah. Now, here's another issue as well. Given the fact that they're wanting to push this bottleneck supply chain chaos, like that whole narrative still, if that doesn't lighten up, which it looks like, Santa Claus Biden, as you're saying, might do that for Christmas. Cool. If there's going to be a continuous pinch or crunch on stuff making it to shelves, then that in and of itself would drive up the price for the recurring goods that will be out, that we put out on the shelves. Just from the manufacturer standpoint of them producing goods, they're gonna be missing out. So
no, because what happened is they got stuff on the shelf now, and they were afraid that they couldn't get the stuff off the ship, so they reordered again in order to get something on the shelf. Don't want to be without. Period. That's the thing you got to remember. Don't whatever it takes in order for me to be without.
Yeah.
And so they re-up, and now they got two ships out there with stuff on them. And when those ships come in, they're going to have seven stuff on the shelf that they only needed one of.
Yeah.
What's going to happen to the price?
Oh, it goes down. Definitely.
It goes down.
Yeah.
And who's going to buy it? Nobody, because you got 11 million people out of a job. Nobody. It's got to go back.
Yeah. So if that plays out that way, it's going to be chaos. But then again, yeah, all that built up supply could remain stagnant for some time. But then again, at some point in the future, if it is, you know, put out there and into the hands of the people, with the current fiasco happening in China right now, with them shutting down and energy crisis, shutting down manufacturing plants, the backlog of the goods is not going to be created. At some point in the near future, we'll definitely catch up, which could be, you know, a while from now.
It could be years from now.
Yeah.
We've been going through this since 07.
Yeah.
Actually, 07, we've been going through this. And everybody thinks it's lineal, and it's not. It's on the roller coaster. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down, just like our emotions. They're up sometimes, they're down sometimes, and sometimes they're even keel.
Yeah.
And that's the way this whole economy has been since 07. And it's not going to change until you can change the dollar. And there's no competition for that.
Yeah. Well, hey, time will tell, man. TB, we will see, man. I appreciate you, dog.
Good talking at you, brother.
Yep.
Keep your head up.
I will do.
All right. Bye.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Good back and forth there. All right, couple more calls here. Let's get these calls. Appreciate you. Let me know what's on your mind. Let's talk. Hello, caller. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hey, this is LJ from LA. How you doing, my brother?
LJ, I'm doing good, my friend. What's on your mind tonight?
First thing, I wanted to comment on the Mark of the Beast. A mark is really just an identifier.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's an identifier. You know, it's like it could be a chip.
Mm-hmm.
It could be a tattoo. It could be something as simple as an X on your shirt.
Yeah.
It could be a race.
Yeah.
It could be the vaccine passport, your name on a database that separates you from one and the other.
Right.
You know, it's an identifier, one to separate one group of people from another group of people. So,
yeah.
You know, sometimes we have to, we've made an assumption that it's a physical mark and not really thinking about the broader concept of what a mark can be, and especially, you know, coming into modern times, what would be more available as opposed to then and now.
Yeah.
And then the second thing is you got a lot of your, I see a lot of your cards, they really don't understand crypto or let alone Bitcoin. Mm-hmm. You know, they put Bitcoin and crypto into the same categories, and it's really not the same. It's like gold and yellow metal. Mm-hmm. You know, they're nowhere near completely the same. You know, we're going digital whether we like it or not.
Right.
And we have one option: either accept what the banks or the government gives us as the alternative, or we have something that's immutable, can't be hacked or hasn't been hacked, mm-hmm. Permissionless. You know, and so I believe that even the powers that be and the people that are assisting the powers that be, I think some of them have come to the realization that they need to have an out as well. Because mm-hmm. once we have no more physical dollars, then we're all wrapped up into that system. And if we come up with something better 10 years from now, we won't be able to transition.
Yeah.
You know, Bitcoin at this moment is the only, and that's part of what a lot of your readers, a lot of your listeners don't understand.
Right. Let me ask you a question.
They don't understand the concept.
So I've mentioned BTC, and so my stance is that it's definitely a viable tool to use. I just personally, I don't hang my, confidence on it just because I question the original intentions of it. So my question to you is, do you think BTC was actually created as a way to help humanity escape this current banking fiat currency collapsing system? Or was it perhaps a part of the original creators of this whole Ponzi scheme anyway, as a way of setting us up to accept and to be excited about going towards the digital realm? Was it by accident or was it by intentional? You know,
I think as with anything, mm-hmm. it has a negative and a positive component to it.
Okay.
Most people will never even accept Bitcoin and will fall into whatever digital system that the banks or the government give to us, i.e. our debit cards, which we're already kind of doing.
Right.
Okay. So majority of the populace is going to fall into whatever is handed to them, which is going to have, it's going to have switches where they can literally cut it off, mm-hmm. you know? But even the powers that be understood that we need to have a system that we have control of, or at least, if I fall out of favor, mm-hmm. what protects the wealth that I have if I fall out of favor?
Typically, in times past, it's been metals.
So in saying that is even those who are creating the things that they're creating mm-hmm. to enslave the populace, to enslave the world, mm-hmm. even some of them realize that, wait a minute, I'm going to fall into this same system as well. And what happens if I fall out of favor? Because mm-hmm. I can look down the way and see the guy who was in the cubicle next to me, who's not here anymore. Mm-hmm. He fell out of favor.
Yeah.
You know, I can see them cutting people's wealth off and so forth. So even they have to have an escape hatch. Mm. And so mathematically, this is the first time that we've had or created something that has the most fairest component. Mm-hmm. Now it's still up to man. It's still up to this small minority mm-hmm. to grasp this and run with it, because it is the tools that will allow us to have control over some wealth that we've consumed. You know, because we're going digital, whether me and you like it or not.
Right.
Now it's gonna have it's like, for example, Bitcoin is pseudo-anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it has anonymous components in it, mm-hmm. but if you're not careful, you can reveal yourself.
Right.
But if you're very careful, you can never reveal yourself,
yeah.
and you can have a wealth of accumulated digital asset.
Yeah.
You know, or what Michael Saylor, you know, a digital property,
mm-hmm.
you know, because once again, that's going to be valuable once we have no more physical cash. Imagine this.
Mm-hmm.
Once we have no more physical cash, you can't even walk into your bank and say, you know what, I don't like your service. Give me my money.
Right.
You have to at minimum ask them for permission to send your balance somewhere else.
Right.
What if they say no?
They probably will. I mean, at some point, if you don't play the game.
So once again, this is why Bitcoin has has its preeminence and has its importance because we only have one shot to get this right.
Mm.
Now, that doesn't mean that later, 20, 30 years from now, maybe we something else, but we'll have the ability to move from there to the next. But once we're digital in their system, we won't have the ability to move if we come up with the best thing after sliced bread.
Hey, appreciate you, man.
Good stuff, man.
I hear the passion and enthusiasm, you know, behind your voice, man. I appreciate it, and that's real.
I've done the research and been studying my brother since 2016. You know, at first I thought it was just, you know, the run of the mill, and I fell in for all the different new ideas and concepts. But then as I dug deeper, I began to realize what this blockchain really is and how this seals in information that's almost impossible to fake. And it's an open system.
Yeah. And so watch this.
You know, so once you learn about how the blocks are created, then, you know, you have a better understanding. And then the last thing, I'll say this, the last thing, you got to understand, all these other coins, their founders didn't walk away with billions of dollars on the table. So we assume that Satoshi is probably dead. Maybe he isn't, but he walked away, and we can look at his addresses, his addresses, and see that billions of dollars have never moved. All of the other coins have founders, they have offices, they have CEOs.
Which is a threat, which is a danger.
They have heads that can be chopped off.
Which is a danger.
They have heads that can be chopped off.
Right. That's very true.
Bitcoin doesn't have a head that can be chopped off.
Very true. And I submit...
No offices.
And I submit as a part of my, you know, skeptical thesis on the nature... on the questionable nature of BTC at this particular time, happens to be right on time. I wouldn't be surprised if those addresses where those BTC haven't moved since its inception will probably belong to like the Rothschild family or the Federal Reserve.
I mean, those are all possibilities. But once again, once we have no more cash, even they're going to realize how valuable that system is.
Yeah.
Because at some point in time, how are governments going to pass or how are the extremely wealthy going to pass value amongst themselves? They're going to use CBDs?
No.
Something that can be shut off or can be cut off?
No.
They can't use gold because gold is too expensive and it takes too long to transfer.
No.
The store.
No, okay, that's true. But then don't forget that, you know, everything we're talking about is stuff based upon information given to us. Majority of the gold that has been mined over the last several hundred years is still in existence somewhere.
But what I'm saying is this: how can you move $100 million in gold?
I'm sure the Rothschilds can put a couple pallets on their private chain. They can put a couple pallets.
It still would take longer than a few minutes.
But watch this for the people who run the system.
How much would it cost? How much would the security and all of that?
Oh, it comes at a cost. But watch this: it comes at a cost. But for those people who are trying to orchestrate this entire shift, I'm sure they don't mind still being in that old barbarous relic of a heavy.
It serves its purpose.
Yeah.
It's like a sword. It's like a sword, and a knife still serves its purpose.
Uh-huh.
When we're talking about in a digital age, we're talking about now living in the future. In a digital age, there needs to be something that can move at the speed of light.
Definitely. And no doubt
that has trustable, valuable, what we call an immutable.
No doubt. Now watch this. And so I'm not arguing with you. I agree. So I'm sure all those people who are orchestrating this experience, they got both. But I'm saying at the end of the day,
I think some of them do.
I would be willing to bet like all the banks, the too big to fail banks. Who've been over the last 4 or 5 years? Jamie Dimon, Bitcoin is going to fail. This dude been sitting on a stash. Believe me.
The CBDs, those are gone.
What?
Now they don't need to use your intermediary bank to get at you. They can drop it right in the app on your phone.
Yeah.
So why are they going to need it? This is what I mean by it, not all of them, because even they have been taken for a monkey rich because they looked up and realized, wait a minute. We thought we was fighting with you so that we could maintain our preemptive, but you're about to create a CBD.
Yeah.
And that'll bypass us.
So
if we don't come up with new ways of using our what we have, or our business models, then some of us are going to be gone.
Good point.
And it goes way deeper than all of that.
Yeah.
Once they get the CBD, they don't need to have your bank down the street.
Yeah.
You don't need to have your intermediary bank. You know what I'm saying?
Well, hey, I appreciate you, man. Good back and forth.
No, but I appreciate you.
Appreciate
too,
you, man. Good stuff. One, man. You too.
All right.
Yeah. Man, that's some good back and forth there, man. And so, like, and that's where I never want to come off as being, like, you know, completely anti. No, as I mentioned before, I've been familiar with the space. I've been dipping and dabbing for quite some time. I'm just saying that it's my belief that this whole digital transformation is not by accident, and that as time moves forward, we're going to find out more what the real agenda is. And the whole CBDC promotion and idea is intentional. It was designed to get to this point when they wanted to end the old archaic system, and the CBDCs will unfortunately be forced on humanity. And I think there are going to be some type of revealing of the flawed nature of all this decentralized stuff at some point. Hope is not the case, but that's why I'm saying it's good to have your weight on the side, because it's out of the system. It has no counterparties. It's archaic. You ain't moving nowhere, but it's just more so insurance policy. And everything on top of that is what you use to speculate with. That would be my, you know, my, you know, opinion on that whole matter. But definitely, if you got in early, then you're doing well. Use it to your advantage. All right, let's talk. But I appreciate the back and forth. Some good stuff, man. I like people who are, you know, able to, you know, stand behind what they believe and willing to put some emotion behind it. So I appreciate you, brother. Hello, Carlos. Where are you calling from?
Hey, Mike, it's Rob from Cleveland.
Rob from Cleveland. What's going on with you, my friend?
Hey, I wanted to comment on the Mark of the Beast, of course.
Okay, give it to me.
Have you seen the video where that guy, he took a black light and he shined it on his shoulder and you could see where the injection site was?
Yeah.
And yes. Then he brought it down to his hand and the vein in his right hand was glowing.
Yeah.
That's that Lucifer. That's that. I mean, I don't know how legit. That's the only video I saw like that. But that's what that Luciferase does.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is the Bible says he caused us all, great and small, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or their forehead. I wish he would have shined it on his forehead, because it doesn't say the injection point is going to be your right hand or it's going to be inserted in your forehead. He took the vaccine, and as a result, he received a mark in his right hand. His vein was glowing. So mm-hmm. That was a result. It's like the previous caller saw, it's an identifier.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is people say, I don't think God's going to let his people take the mark without them knowing it. Okay, first of all, the Bible doesn't say anything about you have to renounce Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. You have to swear your allegiance to the Antichrist. It says none of that. That's mm-hmm. all pastors and people, TV preachers saying that stuff that people have been hearing and repeating. And so I posed this to my one friend. I said, okay, unknown bioweapon or whatever, nothing ever, it's never seen it before. I mm-hmm. said, they cook up a vaccine in 6 months. They don't tell you what's in it, and people rush out to get it.
Yeah.
I said, is that God's fault? No, it's not God's fault, because how many people prayed on it?
Yeah.
So they went out. And I told my one friend, I said, look, I said, bottom line for me, I said, I don't need chapter and verse for this. Mm-hmm. It changes your DNA. I'm going to the grave the way God created me, in mm-hmm. his image. I'm not taking something that's going to alter my DNA and recreate me in the image of something else. And then back to the one thing where, you know, oh, God's not going to let his people. Well, mm-hmm. what Jesus said, he said, I'm the vine, mm-hmm. or the branches. Abide in me and I'll abide in you.
Mm-hmm.
First John says, and hereby we do know that we are in him if we keep his commandments. Mm-hmm. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And then in John 4:13, hereby we know that we dwell in him and he in us, because he hath given us his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And he that saith, I know him and keepeth not his commandments, mm-hmm. he is a liar and the truth is not in him.
Yeah.
So for people to think that there's going to be some kind of marketing campaign, mm-hmm. oh, you got to renounce Jesus Christ. You got to swear allegiance to each. You got to take this in your hand or your forehead. No, that's just misconception, because people don't read their Bible.
Yeah.
They're not in him, and he is not in them, because it's a no-brainer. As far as I'm concerned, that's just where I stand on it.
Right.
And like I said, I don't need chapter and verse. It alters your DNA,
And I'm not going to, I'm going to my grave the way God created me, with my DNA in his image.
Right. Hey, man, I appreciate you for laying it out and giving some of those good scriptures, man. I appreciate you, man. Thanks for calling and sharing that.
Right on. Thanks, Mike.
Yeah, be good. Yeah. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. Oh, man. So, yeah, once again, I like being able to throw out some topics and stir up a little emotion and a little excitement behind people sharing their thoughts and convictions, man. I think that's just some good, healthy dialogue. Go back and forth and, you know, just see where we stand, man. But more important, as I always mention, let's make sure we're encouraging and building up, not tearing down. All right. Hello, caller. Where are you calling from? Oh, I'm listening myself.
Hey, Mike, this is Ricky from the Bay Area, California.
Ricky from the Bay. What's going on, my friend?
I just want to clarify a few things because it seems like, you know, everybody's kind of getting the mark wrong. And, you know, you can't go wrong, but then going to the scriptures. Mm-hmm. If you look up the Strong's Concordance for Revelation 13:16, it is... the letter is, let's see.
Give me a second. Yeah, I saw that somebody, I think somebody put the Strong Concordance in the chat. Let me, I think I put pop that up there, but go ahead and give me what you got. I'm trying to find it.
Yeah. So it's, let me see, G5480.
Let me, well, read what you got to me and I'll keep looking for this.
All right. Greek is karagma, and it means a stamp, an imprinted mark of the mark stamped on the forehead or the right hand. But the root word of karagma, which is, I'll tell you right now, it comes from the word karax, C-H-A-R-A-X, and the outline of the biblical usage is a pale or a stake, a palisade or a rampart, a pale between which earth, stones, and trees. So... Mm-hmm. A pale goes into a heart like a vampire, right?
It's
something that stabs. So whatever that mark is going to be, it has to puncture the skin. That's where the root word karagma comes from, the word karax.
Yeah.
So it's something that's going to have to be inserted, cut in. You know, there's going to be some type of incision.
Yeah.
And it has to be in the right hand or the forehead. So that's pretty much all I got. But yeah. I mean... you can't go wrong. You got to go into the meaning of the words, and that's how you'll get the answers.
Right. Hey, I appreciate you. So that definitely takes the discussion to another level, because when I'm hearing you give that definition according to the concordance, is that at what point in society will people be willing and wanting and more likely not necessarily excited but okay with going somewhere or having something brought to them to then be inserted into their body, whether hand, you know, wherever it might be. And so what type of environment are we in then? You know, that's where I'm trying to figure out, because I think as a part of this global depopulation push in the years ahead, if that succeeds and that's that 2025, you know, agenda of having, you know, 1/3 of the population or 2/3 of the population here in the U.S., you know, is no longer here, then that means that it'll probably be the younger generation. A lot of the younger generation, i.e. the kids, that it'll be a lot easier to have them to participate and grow up with that, you know, in their body, rather than a lot of the older generation. Cause you know, us here, we're aware of the events that might unfold and choose to not do it. But yet if they're younger, never really were brought up in the Bible and know the scriptures themselves, it'll make it easier to accept it as a cool trend or the next way to put a cell phone in your system, you know, that type of thing. It might be a selling point, just like technology right now is a selling point, even though it's very invasive. So yeah, just makes me think more.
Yeah, my honest opinion, and I want to just say, and I'll leave it short, what I really think it is, it really is that, like an RFID microchip, because with the move with the digital currencies and the CBDCs, once they digitize all money and you have a bank account on that chip, your ID, your vaccine passport, whatever, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
You know, that makes sense, that if your wallet's on there, then if you don't have it, you can't buy or sell.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So. That's it. I'll leave it there.
Good stuff, man. Appreciate you for calling in.
You're welcome.
Be good.
Right. Good night.
Yeah, good stuff, man. Good stuff. Yeah, I see a lot of reference points for the concordance. Let me see if I can find a little something here. See what pops up, if I can find it. Let me see. Nope. Hebrew. Let's go to Greek here. So let's see what we can get in here. Anything pops up? Nothing pops up. Excuse me. So I got this more digging and diving on my side. But anyway, we're about that hour and 5 point. So as always, I want to thank everybody for hanging out and sharing their two cents. And of course, the excitement and all the zeal towards really getting down to the nitty gritty of what that mark of the beast is. And just more so having the open discussion about what the Bible tells us and what we all are told to expect. And so I think a lot of people here obviously put a lot of time in our word, which is a good thing, man. So I'm glad that we're able to go back and forth and share that and educate one another and give us something all to chew on. And then more importantly, to go back into these references here and, you know, get spoofed up for ourselves. And that's how we improve. That's how we get better. So it says here, it says the word grapho, G1125, means to commit to writing, things not to be forgotten, written down or record. All right. Anyway, so let's get ready to dial back. As always, I appreciate everybody for hanging with us. Let's pick up tomorrow, same time, same place, Lord willing. And of course, these type of subjects are, you know, right up my alley, man. So I enjoy being able to share, you know, spiritual matters with everybody. So I hope you guys enjoyed it as well. If you have, hit that thumbs up button. Show your support for the channel. And then let's bring it back tomorrow. So as always, I want to encourage everybody who's tuned in, continue the conversation on. I encourage you to share some of this wisdom and knowledge in the Discord page. There's a tab where all this stuff is appropriate to have a little back and forth in a respectful manner. And then, of course, on the Telegram side of things as well, we're sharing stuff over there as well. So that's a good way to make sure you stay plugged in with the community throughout the day. And if you come across articles, videos, or whatever, stuff to just keep us plugged in, share it in the Discord as well as the Telegram so we all can stay in tune. And then, of course, in the evenings, I'll try to grab it and bring it to the show. So anyway, that being the case, that's all she wrote. Let's close out with a little bit of prayer. As always, Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to gather tonight as a community, Lord. We ask you continue to do great things within your children, Father. We thank you for the opportunity to discuss your word and to better understand and to discern and to break down just the nuts and bolts of what your word tells us, Father, and what we should expect. I ask you open all the eyes of our understanding so that we can discern, Father, so that we can make the right decision on a day-to-day basis. And more importantly, Lord, just continue to love and to give and to do all the things that we need to do to, you know, bring glory and honor to you. And Lord, we ask that you allow us to be able to share and to just engage with other people in regards to what we believe and helping others come to the light as well, which is found in your son. And Lord, we just thank you for just being good to us in so many ways. And we ask for you to continue to do great things through us and for us and on our behalf. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, people. As always, it's been good. I want to wish everybody a happy good evening or a good evening or a good morning, wherever you're watching from on the replay. But other than that, be blessed, be safe, and I will see you guys later. Peace. Visit Rethinking the Dollar throughout the day, your place for news on metals, gold, crypto, you name it. Scroll down to the bottom and you'll get a chance to see the daily videos, the recommended videos, and more importantly, the five reasons to unplug from the monetary matrix, with the first one being the awakening period. Step number one, test your dollar IQ. 10 simple questions, average of 60%. Follow up with the alternative perspective with the monetary reports. Consider becoming a supporter of the Rethinking the Dollar platform via Patreon. Get a chance to hang out off air as well as additional information that can't be discussed on YouTube. Any support is helpful. With the crackdown on alternative media, the best thing to do is connect off air. Scroll down to the very bottom. You can find Rethinking the Dollar on Telegram, Audio, Facebook, Twitter, Parler, you name it. The most important ones will be the email list where you can get notified weekly, the Discord page, and make sure you connect on Telegram. And last, don't forget to visit the RTD store where you can get merchandise as well as additional information and resources. And most importantly, scroll down to the bottom and get your weight up with all the limited edition rounds only available on the RTD store.